October 3, 2020. It's the Watch from Pedro show.
Ha ha ha!
Watch for Pedro Show. Happy Saturday. First Saturday in October. October for what? He's had a plug in the jug now for a while because he's got to get all healthy. Like I did at the beginning of the year, Cleanuary.
Yeah.
Back two months of Cleanuary. And then, especially in this situation, people, the quarantino mode, man, you got to watch out because you can yank that fucking tolerance way up to. I think you heard my guest. We started off with, I should say, John Coltrane doing Russian Lullaby, and then a tune from my guest's band, Round High, An Opportunity of a Lifetime, which got recorded here in Pedro. I think it was around July 4, a year and 2-3 months ago.
Yeah, that's right.
Josh, welcome aboard. What's
Pedro up?
Show.
What's nice up? Nice to be back. What?
Buttercup. Yeah, it's great to have you on. And what we wanted to do, although I've played a lot of the record, I got six tunes still that I didn't play because I started playing as soon as you floated to me. The one thing, Billy did a great job mixing the thing, but whoever mastered it, a little heavy on the brick wall limited. But, you know, I don't know. Watch a little more partial. A little partial to, what's it called, dynamics. I mean, you guys played so. I got to tell the listeners, Josh. I don't know about, you know, a lot of times people show up, they think they're going to make the record in the fucking studio without any fucking investment of time or prac. Well, that's what it equals, prac. And you cats, you brought your fucking dealio from Shanghai there. You guys fucking prac. No, I mean, really. And in fact, it was so fucking up to getting it ready for record time that fucking Jimmy, the stick man, he could change parts. Man, I asked him to do stuff that he had never even tried, but since he knew the material so well, he could make the adjusts, you know? I was really, so was Pizza. We were both very impressed by you guys coming there ready to do it.
Man, that means a lot coming from you, man. Yeah. We were rehearsing and practicing that material for a good 4 or 5 months before we got in there.
Yeah, I've yet to hear a basketball player say he's going to go down to the gym and rehearse some hoops. But I guess it's a little bit of theater, a little bit. So, you mean it was all like, because I consider gigs prac, too. In fact, that's the real prac. But you got to do the other prac in the bunker, of course.
Yeah, absolutely.
Did you play those tunes for the people?
We have a few times, but unfortunately, only about, I would say, well, no, because after we were recording, we started playing all those tunes on the following tour, after we left you.
Yeah, but Chach, I'm talking about ahead of time. I'm talking about part of the investment. You were playing it in front of people. Was it just
we were,
alone?
But they were constantly kind of developing. You know what I mean? Like as tunes tend to do. But like by the time we finally got into the studio, we started wrapping things up with what they were going to sound like from then on.
By the time you got to the studio,
No, seriously, because I mean, two of the songs, "Foreigner." Do you remember we changed the entire ending with you?
Yeah. Well, there was a couple of approaches, like some tunes I thought were played a little too fast.
But then some
we even changed up the fucking, like I was saying about Jimmy, a couple times we changed the patterns, and the man had no fucking grief about it. Hey, I've been doing it this way for so long. It was like, fuck it, I'll try it. And because, of course, the feel means a lot, so, you know, you can ask. But if it's not there, you're a real idiot to keep trying to pound it down, you know. But he, that's why I was saying, he knew this stuff so good, he could still preserve the feel, even though he changed parts around.
Absolutely.
Olivio, too, on the bass, did some changes and shit. I was very impressed about how flexible everybody was, just to have fun. You see if it could go in different places and not have a shit fit about, no, man, we've already carve this into the gravestones, and this is the way it's going to be.
Nah, that's pretty much how it is at every practice, too. So it's like, I mean, we've never ever been a kind of band that everything's set in stone. I mean, songs even recorded 5 years ago, we're still changing them.
Yeah. That's a fucking dynamic in happening. But what was the record before this one?
Monster Vision.
And where was
that? That was on a Joe Shithead's label.
Yeah, but where was that done?
That was recorded here in Shanghai.
Okay, because I know one of them, you had one of the cats in Beijing produced.
Actually, part of that was recorded. Okay, so the stuff with Steve, the sessions with Steve we were doing in Beijing with PK-14.
We're talking about Steve McKay, people, the sax man that we lost.
Right, exactly. And Young Haesung of PK-14 engineered those sessions.
Yeah, PK-14, great Beijing band. It's been around for a while. And so, yep. Okay. So it was kind of done, because I met the cat in Shanghai that picked it up after him, right? Didn't we have to?
That's right. You met Li Wei Yu.
Right. Great cat. Because I wanted to know, comparing the Monster Vision with this new guy, the most recent one, the big difference. Well, for one thing, it was at Pedro at Casa Hanzo. But, I mean, you were, and also the guitar men were different, right? You had the cat from Ireland, Gilling, on board.
That's right, James. James was replacing Gil.
That's right. And was that really critical?
I mean, it just brought a different flavor. Because, you know, with Gil's a very aggressive player. You know what I mean? With James has a little bit more of a diverse background. James, I don't know if you're aware of this, but James's father was the bass player, the original bass player for the Radiators from Space, the Irish punk band.
Sure. I didn't know.
And so he has kind of a very eclectic background when it comes to that stuff. So he brought a lot of new ideas to the table.
Again, we presented him with some like options, and he wasn't afraid to try either. I love the spirit of the band not being afraid. So
I mean, plus we have a lot of confidence in you, Mike. You know what I mean? We came in there, we got Mike Watt on the board with the rice sack, you know, so we were ready to go.
Yeah, you people, there's three Hanzo, the Razor movies from the 70s. You got to get educated, because it can be a metaphor for life. It can be a metaphor for making albums, metaphor for doing gigs, all kinds of surviving COVID-19. The whole, you know, it's all about the fucking sack, the stick.
It's all about the sack.
Also the stick, and also the stone with its kind of form, right?
That's right.
Yeah, right.
Tapping it with a spoon.
Right, tap it. Georgie, right? Twitch fire, I think that's what Georgie called. Look, I want to play Pieces.
Yeah. Bridge, and you do run the bridge. meant to be your life. Real names be true. Me and Mike Watt, we played for years. Punk rock changed our lives. We learned punk rock in Hollywood. Drove up some people. We were fucking corn dogs. We go drink and pogo. Mr. Narrator, this is my film to me. My story could be a song. I'm a soldier child. Our band is Scientist Rock. But I was Lee Bloom, Richard Hell, Joe Strummer, and John Doe. Me and Mike Watt playing guitar.
Show, yeah, Pieces from the brand new Round Eye album. Soldier Dolls after that. Soldier Dolls, these Welsh guys I met first time me and D. Boone Georgie played in England. They recorded that thing that ended up on Politics of Time, that weird version of Fanatics. I guess the postal people x-rayed the cassette, so you can't hear shit. Just you can make out D. Boone kind of hollering Fanatics at the end. Anyway, they made a 7-inch, and I found that. Yeah, Be Like You. Friction, which is the television with Richard Hell, the original version, 1974. Brian Eno tried some demos. Luckily, Tom Verlaine, though, ended up mixing it because, yeah, I don't know.
Brian Eno was involved with television?
Before. What? Before, but if you read the Dick Lloyd, you know, you got. I recommend Richard Lloyd's book.
Oh, that's, yeah, I've been meaning to read that. You know,
I read it in 2 days.
No. I met Richard when he was on tour with Billy Ficca. Like, they were just on a tour doing television and Jimi Hendrix covers for some reason. But, like, and
he
was explaining to me that he was finishing up his book.
Well, when you read his book, you'll find out why Jimmy's in there. Jimmy fucking socked him out. Two in the face. No, two in the gut and one in the face. He's like 16 or 17. And
what? Then, really?
I shit.
Holy crap.
Well, I wasn't there, fuck, Judge. But if you read the book, okay? I read it in 2 days. I mean, I couldn't let go of it, right?
I'll definitely check that out. That's great.
Anyway, a couple hours later, he's in his yellow Corvette crying and brings Dick Lloyd, come over here, kid. And wanted to apologize. He didn't mean to do that. So part of Dick Lloyd's guitar style has got some influence, okay?
Yeah, okay, now that makes a lot more sense.
It did make sense to me, too, after I listened back, because you can hear back-to-back solos, like in shit like See No Evil, you know, where sure. Tom Verlaine does one, and yeah. Marquee Moon, there's both guys do, what they call it, Switchblade, or some shit like that, where there's, not at the same time, but each guy gets a shot at lead guitar. And, yeah, really, completely different styles, you know, but really went together well. But I've heard there's something called the Aero Demos, where Brian Eno, I guess it started with this, or it ended up with this No New York, but he had been in New York City for a while there, what was going on, and he was trying to do bands. He ended up with Talking Heads, right? He does a couple of theirs, but he tried television, and it didn't sound too good. And in the book, I guess he was nickel and diming. You got to fly me over on the Concorde and shit. Like, Concorde, listeners, was a SST. Not the record label, but a passenger jet that could get you from London to New York City quick. And there was a crash in Paris, so they stopped him. I think it ate up a tire or something from a plane that took off in front of it. It went inside and sucked up into the thing. It was a lot of
money. Yeah, Concord's the reason Phil Collins could do Live Aid on in New York and in England.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Because he could travel so quick. Okay.
That's right.
Anyway, there's like a little model of it at Heathrow or something. You drive by it when you're leaving the parking lot.
You know, I always wondered how much the tickets were for that thing?
Yeah, it was big bones, I know that. But Richard Lloyd talks about this in the book, you know. And anyway, it don't sound too good. And in fact, you know, the plan was not for Tom Verlaine to fucking mix this thing. The engineer got up and walked out. He said, this ain't music. Can you believe that?
This is Marquee Moon Sessions?
Yeah, it's Marquee Moon. I remember getting that the same month that the Boston album, you know, the spaceship that's a guitar.
Yeah.
And that sound, you know, and then there you see the Marquee Moon, sure. Especially when you take out the sleeve where the words are, there's a picture of them sitting next to these Fender amps. And rock and roll people didn't do that by the time the 70s came. It was big stuff. It wasn't little stuff. Yeah, so I thought that was so econo and so happening. And then the trip.
That's cool.
The sound, I already know because I had the little Johnny Jewel 7-inch. And
Was that released? That was Sire Records, right?
No, the Johnny Jewel was on Ork. Terry Ork. In fact, there's a lot of Terry Ork. Richard Lloyd's, I don't mean this to be, you're supposed to be the guest, not Richard Lloyd, but he's living with him. And, you know 33rd and 3rd, right?
Yeah.
No, 53rd and 3rd, the Ramones song.
Yeah,
I'm sorry. Yeah, because I should know, because that's where you pick up young men for prostitute thing. And both working.
Pick up the little
They talk about Dee Dee. Yeah, but they didn't know each other was doing it. It was parallel universe. Yeah,
you just show up with a wad of cash?
No, it was a trip. They just didn't know. Now they talked about it later on. You know, they end up playing gigs at CB's and shit. And they find out, working. It must not have been the same corner at the same time. And, I mean, would you ever write a song like that?
I don't know if I definitely know a street in Shanghai where you could probably get away with doing the same exact thing.
Well, you know what? I don't think these cats were doing it for fun. I think it was a way to eat.
No, yeah, it was a way to eat and probably feed their dope habit.
Yeah, that stuff, too. I think at that time, Richard Lloyd had bleached hair. I seen early pictures of television. And there's also a beef in there, like, because Richard Hell's in the band, right? Like, we can't have two Richards. And Richard Lloyd was like, yeah? Because, see, the whole thing about that band, they're called Neon Boys. They won't do a gig. Tom Verlaine won't let them do a gig till they get another guitar player. At first, he's going to be the sax player, right? Tom Miller. Yeah, it's a trip. I really recommend the book. I know you tear it up.
I'll definitely check it out.
But would you ever write a song exposing hard stuff about your earlier days?
Of course, you write what you know, right?
Well, if I knew, I wouldn't ask you, Josh. I think every songwriter's got his own take on that.
Yeah, I think I would, especially if he's like, you know, kind of. New York at that time seemed a little more open about that sort of thing. If Dee Dee's going to write a song about it, then he obviously wasn't too secretive about it.
You know, he was.
Especially being in a band with, like a conservative like Johnny Ramone, you know?
You know, he was, yeah, I think he quit because he got beat up too much by Johnny or something. But he ended up being the chief songwriter. And, in fact, writing songs after he's out of the band. He's still writing his songs. I got to meet him a
few
times.
It was so weird, television played here. They played in China, but it was so not advertised. They were on a pop music festival. It had nothing to do with rock and roll. They just happened to show up randomly at this one pop in just television with a full roster of China's top pop bands. And I totally missed it. Nobody talked about it.
What was Richard Lloyd, you know, because he ain't been playing. He says, I don't want to play in Tom's band anymore.
Yeah, I don't think Richard was in the band. I know Billy Ficke was there and Verlaine, obviously. Yeah, yeah. But
well, I think Billy goes way back to Delaware with him, way back.
Okay.
Yeah, way back. And
yeah, I missed it. I wish I had known about it. I would have definitely been there.
I never got to meet Billy, but man, he's an incredible drummer. I got to meet...
he's a really sweet guy. Nice guy.
Folks were from Sicily, I think. I got to meet Didi a couple times. And interesting.
Oh, that's awesome. I'd love to have met that guy.
You know, when he bailed, he said, hey, I got to go. Okay, I got to go, you know. You're like, okay, you know. And then I saw that carved in the fucking gravestone. I guess he told everybody that. Okay, I got to leave now. I got to go now. It's on the gravestone. Crazy. So look, the songs on this album here, out of Monster Vision, okay, let's talk about this baby here. Are they mainly your, are you the womb bearer? I mean, do they start off with you, or is it some kind of collective, a band?
For the most part, like the initial idea, the skeleton would start with me. But then with this album, what was great about this one is that it was more of a collective thing. You know, like, especially when Mac was in the band too, because Mac is probably the most trained musician out of all of us. You know, he's like a super, super jazz head, right?
Right. This is the sax man that just moved to Taiwan, listeners.
That's right. And, this was the first time that, Rhonda really just, all of us started really working together on the construction of the songs. But, it would always start with a riff.
So riff, I'm trying to, you don't make demos is what I'm trying to say. You don't like hear a guy listen to
them. Oh no, we do demos. Yeah. We do.
No, I'm talking ahead of the Round Eye guys. You yourself.
Yeah, I do. I mean, I would just be down in the bomb shelter, just recording myself on this app on the phone, you know, just a riff here and there, and just send it into the group chat, you know. And if they like it, we'll build on it.
Build on it, but you don't give them tunes. You give them ideas, notions.
Sometimes it's full tunes. Sometimes it's notions. It really depends.
Well, do you remember this? Are you less young enough to know about Lincoln Logs?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, are you giving them Lincoln Logs, or are you giving them fucking whole cabins?
I guess it's a bunch of Lincoln Logs.
No, I'm just curious. Okay, so then the band takes this stuff and through all the prac and stuff and just trying it out and beating them up. What about the word part?
Lyrics?
I hear they're called that sometimes.
The words are always dead last. So it's for some reason, it's always the last fucking thing.
No, but who... Is it Man Alone or
that's
is it
me?
Fuck
that's you? That's only me. Yeah, except obviously the one that's completely sung in Italian. That was Livio.
Yeah, Livio, of course. And although he could have translated something, but he actually came up with the. Yeah.
He could have. It wouldn't have sounded great. It sounds better in Italian.
Yeah, of course, of course. So you mean like Mac in a way, the sax man, listeners. He kind of was a ranger?
Of his parts, yes.
Oh, of his parts. Okay, so he wasn't like them. Because,
right.
You know, the arranger was a big part of bands in the old days, like swing band days.
Right.
Because people weren't really playing...
When it came to the arrangement of the song and like
well,
the
Well, they weren't
the
doing
playing,
a lot of original... They weren't doing a lot of original songs. Because people had to know the songs because they want to dance to them. But then your group would make their arrangements...
Yeah, absolutely.
So the arrangement, you know...
Even the jazz, it's like, what's his name, Gil Evans? Like, he would be, was it Gil Evans and Miles Davis?
Yeah, they come out of that tradition where you have an arranger. It's not really original songwriters. But with rock and roll, because rock and roll, they pushed in there some folk. And folk, like, you're singing your own story. So you want some original... That guy up there wrote this song. He's telling you his story. It's not like, we gotta hear the songs that we all know. Remember, it's the war, right? And stuff, the swing stuff. So you don't know people for very long. So you want...
Sure.
Yeah. It was just a different era. I was reading this thing in 1939. There was 30,000 swing bands touring the U.S.
Damn.
Yeah, the competition must have been motherfucked. Right? I mean, a motherfucker. Look, we're at the end of the first hour, October 3, 2020. This is Watt Pedro Show. Special guest Chach from Shanghai. Hold tight for hour two. October 3, 2020. It's the second hour of the Watt from Pedro Show.
Kick a tin can all the way down Easy Street.
Started hour two off with Culture Shock Treatment, Round Eye, this is the title. Sam Bennett after that, Tokyo with the Buffalo Nickel, and Ganji Island with Wet Crossroads. That's got people from Galaxy, but it's an Austin band, Austin Proj, I should say. So with this album here, when it came out, how do records get around? What are record store scene like in China?
Well, for one, there's no real record stores, so people generally get their music streaming online on using various apps in the mainland.
So you're saying zero?
And they also, and actually also, Bandcamp, they could still use that.
But they got zero stores. They can't get physical vinyls or CDs?
No, you can. They do. But there, it's compared to the U.S., it's minuscule. It's very small. Okay. Like, for instance, I don't know, did we ever visit one when you were in Shanghai?
No.
Okay, so over here in Shanghai, what I personally know of, I think there's about 4 vinyl stores in this city of 28 million people.
And what about mail
so,
order?
So, like...
What about mail order? Mail order.
You can mail order. Yeah, they have Taobao, which is like the eBay of China. I mean, not really. You're not really bidding on things. It's just like an online shop.
Alibaba?
Like Alibaba kind of guys.
Yeah, Alibaba, yeah.
And so, yeah, you can buy on there, but nobody really buys physical music.
So do you bring them at the gigs?
Yes.
Yeah, okay, okay.
But what's a pain in the ass is because all of our stuff is manufactured in the U.S., right, especially this album, because they're not going to fucking press that record in China, especially with all the content that's on it, you know what I mean?
Sure.
So we have to wait for Vinny from Les and Jake with Paper and Plastic to send it over to us
when
this COVID shitstorm passes.
Over in Florida.
Yeah, over in Florida.
Yeah, I remember those guys. They're one of those Warped Tour bands, right? They're like on every Warped Tour.
Yeah, yeah.
With Pennywise and
That's
Bad
right.
Religion. Some of these bands were like Bouncing Souls, right? But there is no more.
Yeah,
there is no more Warped Tour. Kevin Lyman, he folded it up. It's over.
Well, yeah,
especially
it's done.
Now with this situation, maybe he saw the writing on the wall, but. I got to do a bunch of those gigs. I never did a whole one, but I would do like West. Some of the situations were.
So you stay in the West?
Yeah, they were tough, like 117 degrees in Phoenix.
On like asphalt, right? In like a parking lot?
Yeah. And then the stage, you know, the cherry on top is the stage is pointed at the sun. So.
See, that's one thing about the Warped Tour. I always was envious of the West. The West Coast seemed like it had the better lineups. I mean, the lineups that I was most interested in. Florida always got like the... Florida was always up in the ska punk thing, and I never really got ska punk.
Yeah. Well, for a while there, that was everywhere.
Don't tell Vinny that.
There was whole Warped Tours that were half ska bands, and then a little bit of swing, too. It would go through all the trips. I remember one time we were playing with this one swing band, and then the next year I see one of the guys And he's got a New York doll. He's dressed like Johnny Thunder. And I said, "What? Well, what's this about?" He goes, "Look, Mike, when they make the Gap Band, you know it's over. The Gap ad, you know it's over. Not Gap Band. They were the Gap, the clothes. You know the clothes. Yeah. So when they make the Gap Band, yeah. It's over. Yeah. Here, I want to play Endless Sleep.
Cool.
or joy look better commanded. But halfway there I got lost, and yet you demanded I'd love you some more. Who's to say what laughter is for? We had followed the way, yet only when the roads were descending, you asked me if I should stay. No, you were demanding I'd love you. Who's to say what freedom is for? Now I don't speak more or less, for every word said's one too many. To knock on the door. Who's to say what a woman is for? I can tell by the way you look down on me, babe. I can tell that you don't want me to stay. Though I hadn't the slightest clue what it takes to care for you on your brightest.
Ей, не знам кай би, не знам с комби, не знам дай би и не. ne znam gdje bi radio enega dana. Stavim sebe, se ponavljam. Enkrat nazad, nazad dva koraka. Enkrat nazad, drugi zgubim balbu. Čakam dan ko se lako budim. Ko jadan stan pa se lako čudim. Ko pridim tam kad smo skupi pluli. Ti stojiš tam, ko se čakam dan. Ki ne bodo sadan. Da delam kaj bi rad. Tog jadan dale stran. Delam plan. Da pridem kam bi rad. Če iščeš njime tam. Ki pisu mladi znaš. Muška
Живо, живо дружба. Не покрив мав рехове на тия база, йо.
Ехо, добра!
Investicija se je izkazala za uspeh. Končno nisem več na tleh. Mislim, da sem zdaj končno zares srečen in da lahko končno neham biti povprečen. Kdo bi si mislil, da ti nek pleh na usta nariše tak na smeh? Da avto predstavlja statusni simbol. Fak stari, kjero bol. Naj bo kabrio danes, naj bo kabrio jutri, naj bo kabrio po jutrišnjem in naj bo kabrio vsak dan. Samo za vas. Če si le trznete, izstopiti iz te krize srednjih let, ki vas je tako nepošteno prizadela. A narava je kruta. Igra se z nami. Ampak zato smo si izmislili kapitalizem. Da lahko določene stvari kompenziramo. Zame je bil to kabrio. Za vas ne vem, kaj bo. Vem pa, da sem si kupil kabriolet in se rešil krize srednjih let.
For Pedro Show, Endless Sleep from Round Eye. Then we got, but there's a club in Ljubljana, which is a big town in Slovenia, and they just put out a compilation. Stanislav Zabic turned me on to this. And so a bunch of their bands got together, three, I don't know, colon RMA, I don't know how you pronounce this, but in fact, the three might be fucking Cyrillic, it might be Brighter Ways, and Clinchy after that with Kakamdan, Lely with Kopnez, Billy Club, Stay Away, Kava Sutra with Leonardo DiCaprio, and finally Spiral Mind with 40 Gironi. Yeah, they're right next to Trieste. It's Italian kind of influence. Yeah, great stuff. You know, that part, it used to be called Yugoslavia, and they had a scene going there in the early 80s, a great band, Disciplina Kishma, with an incredible bass man named Koya, who's still getting well after this stroke stuff. But this guy, incredible cat. Like, wow, right, on the bass guitar. So, in fact, I don't think he's ever had a guitar player in his bands, because he's like fucking wailing like Jimmy. You know, Endless Sleep, it reminds me of what was that school town gig? Me and my missing man got to play in China three and a half years ago now, and because of Chach, Gil, bringing us on over, and that Endless Sleep reminded me of the fucking ride home, because we didn't conk there, we went back to Shanghai. But it was such a trip to get there. We had to find two vans at the train station, you know, just hustling, negotiating the use of two vans outside the train station. And it was supposed to be one van, right? But they tell the people.
Oh, God, you remember that? It was raining, too. Jesus, that was a real stormy night. And it was like, and then we get there. You remember the guy, the sound guy? I think it was, what was the name of that city? Nantong, I think it was.
Yeah.
It was Nantong or Ningbo. Anyway, Ningbo. The guy, the sound Ningbo. Guy had such an attitude.
Right. And that was really weird. He was a student, too, but he already knew it all. There's a lot of that over here.
Yeah.
You know, they've already learned everything. They can't.
I think by the time we got home, I think it was like 4:30 in the morning, and I had to work at 8.
Right, because Chach is a teacher and shit. In fact, you had me in your class to talk to the students and stuff. And then also...
That's right.
So I could get some conk. You had delivered some whiskey.
Yeah.
And I guess...
You enjoyed that bottle, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, because I was beat, man. That ride beat me up a little bit. But still, it was worth it getting to play over there and stuff. I remember the head, too, because it was at a little strip mall kind of thing, and I almost fell
that's
in.
Right, that's right.
It was on top of a platform, and But I, by the end of the thing, I learned how to do that a lot better. You know, you don't sit down there. You got to like kind of get angled. I remember Gil telling me never once he did a public dump. He says he always waited to get to his pad. I don't know how the fuck he could hold on.
Oh man, he has. He doesn't know what he's missing.
So.
Hey, you know what? We went back to that club, actually, just recently, and that dude was fired, that sound guy.
Wow. Because it was a good gig, man. The people were good. He was the only hang-up. And, you know, there's always somebody that somewhere sometimes. But I really enjoyed it, because that one and the Wuxi gig, they were kind of the ones where we were the only, like, Laowais. A lot of the times we were playing
super,
for Laowais.
Yeah, super Chinese,
Yeah. And a Laowai over there is the expatriate people, and it's kind of trippy. You go thousands of miles to go play for foreigners. Where you might want to be checking it out. And the Wuxi gig was like, I mean, this gig we're talking Nimbao, it was more of a student, you know. This thing was a trippy ass version of a sports. We had to go on after like three full on plays of a Bon Jovi gig on like a TV with a 40-50 foot screen.
That's right.
Yeah, I remember, you know, you shit the sheets, you got no shame, you give incontinence a bad name.
That's right. It was like a 20-foot screen playing Bon Jovi.
Yeah.
And, like, everybody was rolling dice, you know, playing dice on their tables.
Yeah. It was a trippy experience, but it was great. I remember the boss had his own table and his little posse, and, you know, I didn't know after the gig, you know, and then he gave the approval and like, and he brings us to chow, all them crawdads and drinking
to chow, right. A shitload of cigarettes. God, it was like
that was.
I think he gave you some cigars too. I think.
Yeah, I mean he was really great, but I didn't know, right? Because it wasn't until the performance was over that we got the, you know, it was like, I don't know, getting judged a little bit. Yeah, yeah, thumbs down, you know, and I was so glad that we could make them happy, because I can imagine, you know.
Oh, they were so stoked. They were very, very happy with that gig.
Yeah, all of them. I
think that they still talk about it. You know?
Is that right? Well, man, I still remember every one of those gigs. It was beautiful. It was so righteous to you make that happen. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, October 3, 2020, Dishwap Peterson, special guest, Josh, Shanghai. Hold tight for hour three. October 3, 2020. It's the third hour of the Watt for Pedro show. for Pedro Show. Started the third hour off with a Foreigner from Round Eye. And Crane after that with Dick's Resurrection. And Bronze Age UFO from Baltimore with Part E of Helen Butte said this. So, you said that the physical, the vinyl stuff's still in Florida. Can people get it from, how do people get this Culture Shock treatment?
Right now it's just on digital download, but the physical copies are going to come out. I guess they're slated for October for production. So things kind of got delayed
with
all the shitstorm that's happening.
Yeah, of course.
But I think it'll finally be available come late November is my guess.
And where on the internet can people go to get this record?
Anywhere but pretty much any streaming site except Bandcamp.
Okay. So
so anywhere else.
Yeah. And just people look for Round Eye, it's two words, and Culture Shock Treatment. And yeah, use the power of the search engine and check it out. You guys also made a video, right?
Yeah, we made two. We actually made three. The third one hasn't been released yet. A friend of ours who runs a sketch comedy, a very popular sketch comedy thing out here in Shanghai called Mama Hoo Hoo. They just released their first, I guess, film that they're sending off the film circuits, and we did a song on there. So that one, Red Rhymes. But the other one's Guess Who's Coming to Dinner, which has Lao Lu, the owner of Yuyintang, that club that you played in Shanghai.
That's right.
The boss is in that video.
Wow, and, great cat. I remember asking him.
Which is a protest video for Hong Kong.
Smokestack, yeah. I remember asking him. Smokestack's ones we fooled around with in the studio. I remember talking to him about the first rock and roll he saw or heard, and he told me it was John Denver.
Yeah, that makes sense. Country Roads is a huge song out here.
Yeah, but because they didn't really get rock and rolls like till the early 90s or something, he was telling me or something.
Yeah, it was the late. I mean, the first Western band to ever play China, like to be allowed access into China and play a stage show, was Wham.
From England, Mike. No, what's his name?
George Michael.
George Michaels. Yeah, he just passed away. Not too long ago.
So that was the first exposure to that stuff that they got. And then I think through the underground, they were just trading tapes, you know?
Yeah, sure. But he was probably the hippest guy that I met over there during that little tour.
Oh, yeah. Lao Lu, for
sure. Yeah, Lao Lu. Great cat. Okay, let me play Circumstances.
Yeah. Thank you.
bought for Peter Schoen last music for this edition. Round Eye with Circumstances. So, like something like Circumstances. You and the band's been working on
it. You know,
it's
funny, I sent it to John French, the drumbo.
Sure. People,
and he gave me a long reply.
I should tell the listeners, drumbo was a magic band, a Captain Beefheart drummer. Not on every record, and, but a bunch of them.
Yeah, he wasn't on that one. I don't think he was on Clear Spot, but he was.
No, he's not. That's our trip.
You know, he's drumbo, right?
He was the younger guy. He's from the desert and stuff, but he's from an earlier, younger shift. So he's friends with Rocket Morton and Jeffrey Cotton. And so they're the guys. And, in fact, he's the guy who, like, turns Cap Beefheart's ideas into stuff that can be actually played for Trout Mask Replica. But I think he's on Strictly Personal also. But he's not on Lick My Decals Off or Clear Spot.
And he's singing for him now, right? Well, I mean, when they do get to perform.
There's something called the Magic.
I think he's singing for him.
Yeah, there's a thing called the Magic Band, but that had nothing to do with the Cap. I think it started like in 2004, one of the Altamars parties.
Yeah.
But what happened when you send him?
Oh, no, he just said it. I think it was too loud for him. But he liked it. He said he wished the harmonica had a better mic on it.
Oh.
He had a bunch of questions about the harmonica mic.
Okay. I think he does. Well, I know our trip does chiropractor. Maybe he does, too, or something like that. He doesn't do as much music nowadays.
Yeah.
I really recommend the Mike Barnes book on Cap Beefheart. He talks a lot with John French. And then Drumbo, he wrote a book also.
You know, what's the band that the guys, the members of Beefheart's band, the original Magic Band?
Well, that's the guys.
They need another.
That's the guys that became this, like Rocket Morton and stuff. They were called Mallard.
What was it called? Like Pterodactyl or something? What was it called?
I'm gonna enlighten you to this, Chach, if you let me. It's Mallard.
Mallard, that's it. Mallard, right? Mallard.
The guy that was in that band that ate with them when they did the later stuff was Zoot Horn Rolo. He was part of Mallard, but not the next Magic Band. It's sometimes.
Is Rocket Morton still playing?
Yeah, I think he retired. But he still does some music. He's got a web presence. He's got his own site. I think he lives in Georgia. Mark Boston, people, if you want to go look him up. Incredible. You know, he did those records, like Trout Mask Replica, using steel banjo picks. He had this weird style of playing to try to do with the Cap Mask for him, for the bass lines. Off the whole hand. Not just holding a pick or just your thumb or your fingers. The whole hand using banjo picks. So it was kind of, in a weird way, like flamenco or some shit. You know,
like finger-picking the bass?
Yeah, but there was picks. Banjo picks, metal banjo picks. You know how you work a banjo with that, like, arpeggiated
thing? Yeah, sure, sure.
Yeah, he was doing that shit. But they're also like strums. And if you know flamenco, yeah, you got some Dominican, so you got some España a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
The way they strum isn't just, you know, with the thumb. They got a way of strumming where they fan out with their fingers. Forehand.
Right, right.
Forehand, okay? Not just upper, you know what I mean? He incorporated that in his playing. Yeah. And it's like, bang, bang, bang. You can get this bang, right? More than one hit. Ring. It's more of a cascade.
Did he only do that on Trout Mask?
He did it later. Well, there's a tour where they get the guy from Frank Zappa's band on bass. There's actually two bass players. There's a Europe tour before those two shitty albums. Moonbeams, Blue Jeans, Unconditionally Guaranteed. Yeah, there's a tour with actually, he's playing double neck or sometimes he's playing guitar and, you know, because there's another bass player. He's also dressed very.
And those albums aren't that bad. They're not shitty. Come on. Everyone calls it the Tragic Band. But without that band, you wouldn't have a Party of Special Things to Do. That's a great song.
Well, look, man, that's why there's more than one listener, because everybody gets their say, right? Okay, but they are called the Tragic. In the, you know, there's, I think, how many versions? 41 versions of the Magic Band. Sometimes it's his Magic Band. Sometimes it's the Magic Band.
But the Magic Band, yeah.
But there's a place, a website, right? Radar Station. Doc at the Radar Station. Cap Beefheart.
I've visited that site a couple times.
And they go through all. And this is what's great about the Mike Barnes book. You can read that motherfucker, and with YouTube.com, you can listen to every song, because he talks about how every song is recorded. It's incredible. He never got to talk to the captain.
Oh, that's awesome.
Captain, though. The captain wouldn't talk to him. So he's not in there. But there's a great spiel with Art Tripp at the end. If you get the second edition, because it's got the Art Tripp in the appendix. And it's okay, also cool. Got this Berman guy. They found it was a made-up name. And this guy actually wrote Trust Us. He wrote lyrics, a lot of the lyrics. Everybody thought the Captain wrote and was using a fake name. But no, a lot of mysterious stuff about the Captain. Yeah, Captain, you know, at the same time I read a Rob Chapman's book on Sid Barrett. And man, a lot of similarities with those two cats. But what's your next plan?
I mean, geez, right now we're just kind of writing and just, you know, I mean, we're actually on tour right now, technically, in China. I mean, like a Chinese tour, so... What I mean by that is when bands tour out here in China, they generally keep it to just the weekends. It's not really like a Monday, Tuesday kind of place to play, you know what I mean? So they can't do consecutive shows. So we've been going out every weekend. So they still have live performances with the QR code and the masks and everything. So we've been kind of busy, right. Surprisingly enough, I mean, all things considered.
But you're getting ready to make another record, or you're just writing?
Just writing, yeah. Right now I'm trying to concentrate. I want to make a... two more videos for two of these songs that I want to edit and film myself. And just kind of just playing these shows and just seeing where the wind's going to take us. We just got reconfirmed for Rebellion Festival in England for 2021.
Blackpool. I got to do that last year with the Flipper guys. So are you a four-piece now, or did you replace Matt?
We have a new guy, but he's kind of... It's been very difficult because some of the guys, Jimmy Jack... James and our new sax player, they can't leave Shanghai. Their schools won't let them travel.
Yeah.
But my job, I'm okay to travel. So I've been going out and touring all over China with pickup bass and pickup drums.
Wow.
It's been a real
clusterfuck. You mean they go and they practice by themselves and you show up?
No. Like these are just other guys that have been fans of the band and they know the material and they just come on board.
Okay.
You know?
So no prac. Fuck.
No, we have prac. We're rehearsing. They all live in Shanghai.
Oh, you go out with them. I thought there was dudes in the towns.
No. And these guys...
In fact, it reminds me of a story. This is way Big Jim Dandy Magnum, Black Oak, Arkansas, was touring.
Oh, yeah.
He's just showing up, and you got to have a... You know, like Chuck Berry, you show up, right, and there's a band. And this guy told me, Steve-O, good guy, married to Karen Rocket, Nurse Rocket, a good friend... My late friend, Doug Rocket's sister, and he said they're just about to go on stage, and him and Jim Dandy getting a beef over Captain Beefheart. Like, Jim Dandy said, that guy was bullshit. And Steve was like, bullshit, he wasn't bullshit. And they almost start, they're all whiskeyed up and shit. They almost duke it out, and the gig's canceled, fighting over. And I think because Jim Dandy had a voice kind of, you know, because the Captain had the fucking, although he wouldn't admit it, but the Howlin' Wolf thing going a little bit, and Jim Dandy had a little of that, too. Ain't that a trip?
I'm really surprised. Jim Dandy doesn't like Captain Beefheart?
Well, according to this story, there was almost fucking chingazos.
Wow.
Look, it's
been, and I like Black Oak, Arkansas, too. Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah, the records ain't too good, but gigs were incredible. They were the best band at the California Jam I saw in 1974. Look, as soon as you get some new music... Come back on the show. Let's talk about it.
For sure, man. Absolutely. Always, man.
Yeah. Love you, Chuck.
And as soon as this COVID shit clears up, you got to come back to China, Mike.
Oh, I'd love to come play again. Come check it out. Maybe go a little more west.
Yeah. Yeah. Actually, remember when I sent you that message about going over to the Yangtze River?
Yeah. Yeah.
They wouldn't let me on that fucking thing.
Oh, the sand pebbles.
Yeah, well,
they never made it. Actually, they were up Heng Cao and like some tributary. That boat couldn't fucking make it. That's a great book, people. Huh? Richard McKenna, read it if you can. Okay, Chach, next time we talk, okay?
All right, well, sounds great, man.
Okay. October 3, 2020 edition of Wap for Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.